Well, good morning and welcome to Church of the Rockies Facebook Live. I'm sorry I'm a little bit late. I was going to begin this morning by asking you to be a little patient with me because this is the first time I've preached on Facebook and on Facebook Live. And so everything that could have gone wrong, well, not everything, but as we were getting ready to begin, my phone began to go off. An alarm was set for me to pray, and so I had to turn all of my alarms off and to kind of regroup, and so I'm back, and now it's time for us to begin. I want to thank you for joining us this morning, and I think it's important that we do this and that we attempt to be together online at the same time. It's getting harder and harder for us to connect in these days and weeks. And so for you to be online and experience the message at the same time someone else is, and you're able to see who all's on there, I think is encouraging to us and to our church family. And so thanks again for being here and being a part of this time that we spend together in God's Word. We hope in the days to come that we get that we become more proficient at this, that we try some different things and do some new things, and so we're looking forward to what God has in store for us online in the days ahead. So earlier I posted, and it was mainly announcements. I'm not going to take a lot of time this morning to make announcements. I do want to encourage you, if you're watching, to like this Facebook post, to share it on your page so others will be able to hear the message today. And so I want us to begin, and so I know this is different. You're at your home, I'm here in the office, and so I want us to begin just by praying. Actually, what I'd like for us to do is to read the Bible together, the passage that I'm going to preach from, and talk to you about today. And I want us to pray. But since we can't do this in one place at one time, I'm going to ask you to do something that may seem a little strange to you. If you have your Bible, which I hope you do, or your phone, or whatever copy of God's Word you have, would you take it and turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand right there in your living room, right there at your table. We'll stand together at this very moment in honor of the reading of God's Word, signifying that we are placing ourselves under His authority, and at this very moment, together, wherever we are responding to God, and we are signifying that this time in our home is set apart unto God. And so let me read this, and then let's pray together. And we'll share in God's Word together. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, "When I send Artemas to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And let your people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen." If you didn't catch that first part, I ask everyone to stand in their homes, and let's stand right now where we are, and let's lift our hands to God, Church of the Rockies, and others who are watching, and let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for loving us and sending your son Jesus to die on an old rugged cross for our sins. Lord, we are together in spirit. Lord, we are focused on the same passage of Scripture wherever we may be at this moment. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts, God, that this would be a time with you and your word that is meaningful, and that, Lord, convicts us, encourages us, Lord, leads us in the way that we should go. And Father, even now, and we'll pray at the end as well, we pray for those who are sick, those who are hurting, those who are grieving over the loss of loved ones, especially in reference to COVID-19. God, we pray that you would continue to fill your church. Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, grant us wisdom in these days, help us to be the people that you've called us to be. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Would you be our guide? Would you be our teacher? Would you lead us in the way everlasting here in these few moments? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is an unusual day. In fact, under normal circumstances, we would be gathered in the upper room at the barn at this very moment. Music would have begun to play, and we would be getting ready to worship the Lord together. You would have, under normal circumstances, gotten up this morning, gotten dressed, and made your way to the church parking lot, where you were getting out of cars and waving at one another with Bible in hand, walking into the front of the church downstairs there and running into some greeters with name tags on, with a smile on their face, shaking hands, patting one another on the back, giving one another hugs, and then moving on into the cafe and grabbing some coffee. Under normal circumstances, you're standing there, you're drinking coffee, you're chatting about the week, and then all of a sudden, there's a timer that comes on the television downstairs, which several of you pay no attention to. But it begins to count down 10 seconds until we start our worship service. And then you begin to make your way upstairs, find your seat, and we begin our worship service. Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't be in an empty room in the downtown office standing in front of an iPhone and preaching, which I have to say is somewhat awkward to be in an empty room preaching. But I'm trusting that several of you are on the other side listening at this particular moment in time. Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't be here. Under normal circumstances, you wouldn't be in your living room, in your bedroom, or at the kitchen table. You wouldn't be in your PJs watching me preach this morning. But we all know that the past few weeks, and especially the past few days, have been anything but normal. And I state the obvious because sometimes it's hard for us to learn and see the details in the midst of what is obvious. I believe God is reminding us of something that we all know, and that is that the building is not the church. That we, the people, are the church of the living God. You say, yes, we get that. We understand that. But the second part of that is this, and maybe you've not thought about this a whole lot, but the reality is that the greatest difference for Christ will be made, and the greatest gospel impact that we as a church can have will not be made within the walls of our building, but will be made in our homes with our families. The difference will be made for Christ in the workplace, in the marketplace. The difference will be made for Christ where we play and where we recreate. The difference will be made for Christ in our neighborhoods and in our communities. Maybe you've heard it said that the church gathers to scatter. In fact, I've said that online already this week. But I like that phrase. I like that metaphor, that description of the church. The church gathers to scatter on Sunday mornings. I just described what it looks like when we come together. We come and meet in one place. We gather. We're not the only ones. People all over the United States and all over the world gather together on Sunday mornings. And then we scatter. We leave. Where do we go? Well, we go home with our families. We go back to work on Monday, and we are with people that we spend the whole week with. We go back into our communities, our neighborhoods, our towns, and our cities. And I want to just challenge you this morning to think, as we get started, about this idea of scattering. Seems that in these days it's happening a little bit differently. In fact, I would say in the scattering that is taking place right now, in a different way, by not being able to come together in one location, it is very possible and highly likely, I believe, that God is trying to get our attention, and He is providing for us one of the greatest opportunities of our lives, one of the greatest opportunities of our lifetime for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And so I want to ask you a question. I was listening to an Audible book this week, and there was a question that sounded similar to this, but it made me think. It was a different context, but I think it fits well with what we're saying today. Here's the question. What does it mean to be in Christ at this time in this place? What does it mean to be in Christ, to be saved, to be a child of God, to be filled with the Spirit? What does it mean to be in Christ at this time in history and in this place? And I would follow that by saying to you, church, this is our time. The time is now. This is our place. These are our people. God has put you here in this community for such a time as this. I was reminded of an Old Testament passage of Scripture in 1 Chronicles. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. It's a list of the 12 tribes of Israel and the men that have been set aside for certain tasks. And it's a list of David's army coming together, and it's listing them out by tribes and groups of people. And one of the groups that are listed there, that is listed there, is the sons of Judah. The sons of Issachar. The sons of Issachar. Here's what it says in 1 Chronicles 12, 32. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. This passage is talking about these men at a particular time in history when they were preparing for war, that they understood the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. My prayer has become that God would give us, that God would reveal to us, and God would give us, the church, discernment in these days, that we will understand the times in which we are living, that we will know what to do, and that we will do them, that we will do what God is asking us to do. One thing I know for certain, in order for us to understand the times, and in order for us to know what to do, we must seek God through prayer and Bible study. I don't think we could do anything more important at this moment in time than to seek the Lord, than to talk to God, than to read our Bibles and listen and hear God speaking to us. We need a word from God. We need to be in His presence and experience His power and be led by the Holy Spirit in these days. And so that brings me to ask a question for us this morning, and that is this. What is God saying to Church of the Rockies today? What is God saying to Church of the Rockies today. Like a lot of other pastors this week, I've been restless. I've been at peace with God, but I've been restless in trying to understand how to continue leading God's church. The people that He has placed under my spiritual watch, under my spiritual care, how do we move forward in these days? And so I've been restless at night. I've been praying a lot, studying a lot, and thinking, God, what would you have me to say to the people on Corona Sunday? I don't know if you know that, but a lot of preachers have been calling this Corona Sunday. There's thousands and thousands of churches that are doing what we're doing this morning. But what would you have us to say to the people? And so I began to think, and I'm watching the pastors, and I'm listening to churches, and they're saying a lot of wonderful things that we all need to hear. I would encourage you to listen. Listen to what's being said. Now, this morning's message is not going to address how this crisis is making us feel. There are plenty of passages of Scripture that I could go to, and we could talk about how to have faith in the midst of fear. We could talk about how to have peace in the midst of this great panic that's going on. How to continue to experiencing the joy of the Lord in the midst of tumultuous times, in uncertain times. How to continue to walk by faith and be encouraged. And you need to go to God's Word, and we'll look at some of that in the next few weeks. But this morning's message is not going to address felt needs. It's going to come from a different point of view. It's going to come from a missional aspect. I'm going to assume that many of you that are listening this morning have been born again. Now, I'm going to talk to those of you who have not in a moment. But that you're prepared. The Spirit of God lives in you. Faith is there. Grace is there. Kindness is there. Peace is there to be activated in your life. And that at this moment in time, we walk forward from the position of victory. This morning's message is not so much about how we feel and how this is making us feel. It's more about what we are to do and how we are to respond. And so back to that question. What is Church of the Rockies? What is God saying to Church of the Rockies this morning? Well, another thing you need to know is that months ago, I began to plan my preaching series for 2020. And we are in the book of Titus. And we have looked at six different messages from the book of Titus. That'd be six different messages from the book of Titus. And today we're on the last passage. And I believe we're there by divine appointment. That God has something to say to us from the passage that we've been leading up to. And so here it is. You're gonna be surprised at how simple and how straightforward it is. But I want you to listen to verse 14. Think and listen. Here we go. Verse 14. And let our people, that's the church, also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Now, if you've got your Bibles, just look at verse 14. Just look at it. I'm going to read it to you again. This one verse. This is where God has us. And let our people also learn to maintain good works and to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Now, I think when you read that and recognize what it's saying, you'll realize that we're not there by accident. That we've arrived at this address in Scripture at this particular time, and God is speaking to us. What is He saying? God is telling us to devote ourselves to good works by learning to maintain them, by learning to maintain the doing of them in our own lives, and by meeting urgent needs. So here it is this morning. Learn to maintain good works, meet urgent needs, so that we will not be unfruitful. And so the first one, Bible says there in verse 14 that we are to learn to maintain good works. Now, I think it does us good to define this idea of good works. You could probably come up with your own definition, but we want it to be based on the Bible because it's coming from the Bible. And from the context of Titus, some have written a definition of good works that I want to share because I couldn't do any better with it. Here it is. Good works are human acts that meet gospel needs in the name of Christ. Human acts that meet gospel needs in the name of Christ. What does that mean? That means that these good works are evangelistic in nature. They are gospel-centered. In fact, these human acts, they advance the gospel in our society. And they are motivated by our love for Jesus, our love for our neighbor, and by our desire to honor God. Now, the indication here is that these good works are to be consistent, are persistent in our lives, to maintain. It's something that's ongoing. But the idea of maintain also carries with it this notion of being careful with. In fact, he's already told us that in the previous passage, to be careful to maintain good works. It's the idea of nurturing, taking care of, tending to. And so what Paul is saying to Titus about the people and the churches on the island of Crete is that they are to cultivate this lifestyle. They are to care for, nurture a lifestyle of good work, something that is ongoing and being practiced on a regular basis. In fact, I want you to look at one more word there that we don't want to miss. It's important. Paul says to Titus about the people to let them learn to maintain good works. What does that mean? That means that it is not something that comes natural to us. First of all, these good works flow out of our relationship with God. God is at work in our lives. The Holy Spirit is working in us and through us, producing this good fruit in the society in which we now live. But we also have to cultivate this, to tend to this, to learn. So it means it's learned behavior. It's not natural. And so if it's learned, that means, let's ask this question, how do we learn? We learn by experience. We learn by practicing. We learn to get better at doing good works. We learn to maintain these good works by experiencing them and practicing them in our lives. And so here's what I want to say to you, church. It's time to practice. It's time for us as a community of faith, as a body of believers, to practice. Has it ever crossed your mind that at this moment in history, the scattering that is taking place is a wake-up call for the church? And that it may be God's way of getting us out of the building. That it might be God's way of saying, hey, church, I want you to take seriously Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I want you to take seriously the Great Commission to go and to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When Jesus was preaching on the mountainside, in the Bible we call this the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see, others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. As the church, we are a city on a hill with a light that is shining brightly in the darkness. You realize that light shines brightest when it's darkest all around us. It often seems darkest when we or when other people are in crisis. Now, certainly, the spread of the coronavirus, which has been labeled a global pandemic, has put the world under a tremendous amount of stress. There's a dark cloud hovering over the world, over our lives right now. And we are living each day in the shadow of a major crisis. It's a crisis the likes of which none of us have ever experienced in our lives. What do we do? Well, that's a loaded question, because there are many different ways that we can respond, but what do we do according to this text? What do we do according to what the Bible is telling us, according to what God is saying to us this morning? Well, here's what we do. We let our light shine for Jesus. We let our light shine for Jesus. We do good works. What do we mean by that? Human acts that meet gospel needs in the name of Christ. We do as the Scripture's teaching us. We devote ourselves to good works. You see, we've got to recognize that the crisis is not that we can't meet in one place at one time this morning. That's not the crisis. The crisis is not that things are changing and that we are not getting our way when it comes to the normal on Sunday mornings. The crisis is not that we're having to advance and use technology in these days. The crisis could be categorized in many different ways. The crisis could be said to be a physical crisis, but it's a physical crisis that points to a spiritual crisis, which is the need for Jesus, the need for salvation, the need for hope and security that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in order to learn to maintain good works, to devote ourselves to good works in this way, something has to happen. Our mindset has to change some. We can't be so consumed with ourselves that we don't have time to care greatly for our neighbors and meeting their needs. In fact, the first and second greatest commandment that Jesus gives us applies greatly to our situation all the time, but even now. This moment in time, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, with all that you are. And we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. I certainly do not believe that this is a time for the people of God to go quiet, to back up and take second seat, or to disappear from the scene. It's not time for God's people to hunker and bunker and do nothing. It is time for God's people to work with others and make sure that we are proceeding in the right way to help the people who are in need. You see, it's time for us to literally practice what we preach. Sunday after Sunday, for many years, even decades for some people, they have come to church, to the church building, sat in Sunday school, heard a lesson, heard the Word of God preached, sang to Jesus, and prayed, and given their offerings, and gone back home. And I want to say to you that this is an opportunity for you and for me to do something with what we've been hearing for all these years, to put into practice what we've been consuming for all of this time. It's a time in history for us to do, as James says, demonstrate our faith by our works. He says to the diaspora, to those, by the way, who had been dispersed, that faith without works is dead. And Jesus has told us in his sermon that a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So God is revealing to us in his word that the church is to learn to maintain good works. But the second part of this is that we are to meet urgent needs. Can you believe that on this particular Sunday, God has landed us in a passage of Scripture that says, meet urgent needs? I think that's wonderful. I really like it when God makes it clear. And he's done that for us this morning. And so it says that we are to meet urgent needs so that we will not be unfruitful, there in verse 14. So let me ask, what was it that Paul might have been referring to among the people of God on the island of Crete? What is it that he might be thinking would be their most urgent need? Well, you might be surprised, and maybe not, but you might be surprised to learn that the most urgent need that they had on the island of Crete there in the first century is the same urgent need that people have today, even today, in the midst of this crisis. The greatest need that people had then, and the greatest need that people have today, is the need for Jesus. It's the need for eternal life. It's the need for salvation from sin. It's a need for our sin debt to be paid by the blood of Jesus Christ so that we might have everlasting life. Now, how do we know that the thrust of these good works to meet urgent needs is evangelistic? Well, look at verses 12 and 13. I love it when God gives us a glimpse into the somewhat of the personal and spiritual lives of the men and women of God. Paul is concluding his letter. And he says, when I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me. What does that say to us? That says to us that Titus was not going to remain on the island of Crete, that Paul was sending one or the other, that he was sending Artemis or Tychicus to pick up the work and continue on. And when they arrived, that Titus was to make his way to where Paul was. Where would that be? Be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, a city on the seashore that we are told did not, and this is significant, have a church. So Paul is heading to a city where there is no church. Why? To evangelize, to share the gospel, to make disciples, to plant churches. What does he say? I'm sending one of these men there to take over for you. Titus, you come, and you're going to be with me, for I've decided to spend the winter there. Verse 13, send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. Now, so Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos were likely the ones that had brought the letter to Titus, and it was time for them to go and to continue on their mission as well. So what does Paul say? When they go on their journey, send them with haste, be urgent about it, that they may lack nothing. Give them everything they need, food and clothing, money, whatever it is they need to be able to make the journey and make it successfully and safely give it to them. So what do we see in verses 12 and 13 that calls us to think that the thrust of these good works to meet urgent needs is evangelistic in nature? Well, it was all about getting people where they needed to be for the advancement of the gospel, for the sharing of the faith, for the making of disciples and planting churches. Listen, people were being rerouted. They were being strategically placed by God on mission for a purpose. The people were being shuffled around. The people were being scattered. Does that sound familiar? Maybe on a micro scale, on a little bit smaller scale for us here in Carbon County and in Montana. You see, at this particular time, as we seek to meet urgent needs, the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be on display in our lives. In fact, back in the book of Titus, in chapter 2 and verse 10, he's already talked about adorning the doctrine of God our Savior in all things, putting it on, wearing it, displaying the gospel, the truth of the Word of God. The need for the hour, meeting urgent needs. The need for the hour is a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. In fact, there should be a heightened sense of urgency among us. And maybe that's why I've been so restless this week. There should be a heightened sense of urgency. The need has always been there. But now we have different circumstances. And it's reminding us of our need to go, of our need to be, of our need to scatter, of our need to maintain good works, and of our need to meet urgent needs. There's the heightened sense of urgency. In fact, people all around us, here where we are and wherever you are, from wherever you are watching, they need to hear about the love of God, the good news of Jesus Christ that meets the most urgent need of the soul. It meets the most urgent need that all people have everywhere and for all time. You see, right now, as we're watching the news, as we're listening to reports, as we're doing our best to isolate ourselves and be a part of not spreading this virus, as all of this is going on, we recognize that some people have died from the virus, that it is a deadly virus, but that we somewhat have it under control, and we're helping to do that. And we also know that at this point in time, everyone who catches the virus is not dying. Some have, some will, and many more, from what we're being told, many more will not die. So here's the reality. The coronavirus may kill the body, but it does not have the power to kill the soul. And here's what the Bible says in Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Let me tell you something that you know and that we are being reminded of from Titus today. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. In fact, when I was growing up, Steve Green had written a song, and it's one that we sang, and it became very popular at the time. It's entitled, People Need the Lord. And maybe you remember these words, but I want you to think about them while I read them to you. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. Here's the chorus. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When, here's the question, when will we realize that people need the Lord? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief that they bear. Listen carefully. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share. The Bible is telling us, God is telling us today to be devoted to good works, to learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, human acts that meet gospel needs in the name of Jesus Christ. John's gospel and many other passages of Scripture help us to see what God has done on our behalf to meet those urgent needs. Beautiful passage that you've read and many of you are familiar with. John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish," would not be separated from God for all of eternity, "would not perish, would not die, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might live." The good news is that there is an answer for the sin problem. And we, church, know the answer. And this is the urgent need that is among us, the most urgent of all. People need the Lord. Learning to maintain good works and meeting urgent needs is more challenging when life is out of kilter, when things are not normal, if you will, when life is challenging. But I want to challenge. I want to just say a couple of things as I end up here, and I want to just help us to kind of keep things in perspective. And I'll do that by asking this question. What if these days are practice for what is to come? What if, whether we like it or not, we are about to experience a new normal? I don't know. I hope things come back to be the same or somewhat the same. Maybe not. Maybe we should see this in terms of the providence of God moving His church to action in the midst of crisis. But what if this is practice? What if this is a time for us to continue to prepare for what is to come? You see, we are not promised prosperity. We have been living in a wonderful nation where we experience freedom and we experience abundance, but there is no promise for us to continue to prosper materially in this lifetime, in this world, in this country. It's a blessing that we have often taken for granted. But this past week, we've come to realize just how fragile life is. We've been reminded. And just how fragile the abundance of what we have is. How fragile things are. And how quickly things can change. And ultimately even be taken away from us. Some people, even their very own life. So what does that do for us. Well, it puts us in a position today, certainly, for our faith to increase, for our faith to continue to build in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for us to stay close to Him and to continue to walk in victory, the peace of God in our hearts, the love of God on display, the gospel of Jesus Christ on display in the lives of other people, and to continue doing good works and meeting urgent needs. Human acts that meet gospel needs in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, practically speaking, I want to say to you that in these days, the church, we, on an individual basis, should be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and pray and seek God and understand how God might use us, might use you personally in the life of your neighbor or friend or family member, how God might position you to meet these gospel needs in the lives of others. And we're continually working right now as a church to organize to meet gospel needs in the name of Christ together as an organization. So there's two ways this is happening. You, and I think this is the most powerful way for all of you individually and in your families to do all you can for everybody and for the church to continue to organize. Now, in so doing, I caution you and I pray for you and I encourage you to remain safe, to be safe, to be good stewards of your relationships with your family and your neighbors and your friends, to continue to take the necessary precautions to prevent the spread of the virus, to work along with our communities. I mean, listen, doing this is one way of demonstrating our love for them, that we care for them. So be safe, keep others safe, maintain good works, practice good works, meet urgent needs, gospel needs. You use common sense and you do what you can under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to be the church, to be the church in these days. I want to end with this one verse of Scripture and then we will pray. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," which means carefully. "See then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." This is where we're at today. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." What a wonderful message from the book of Titus as we conclude our time together in this particular study. What I want us to do to end our time online now is to pray. But what I'd like to do is also just remind you to pray for one another and others that you know. Pray for, we've got people that are part of our church family who are in the medical field. We've got nurses, we've got lab techs, we've got others who are working at the front desk where they almost see everybody that comes in. We've got people in this healthcare profession that are taking a risk by going to work, but they're doing so for the good of others. And we want to pray for them. They're missionaries from our church. We've got people that work with our local government here that are a part of helping to make decisions to keep people safe. Pray for them. Pray for our police department. Pray for our fire department. They are actively involved in helping keep people safe in these days. There are people who have weak immune systems that are part of our church and even part of our community. There are people with brand new babies in their homes. And so we want to pray for these people diligently. And I'm going to be doing some prayer things online this week, and I hope you'll be able to join us for some of those activities. So pray. Be in prayer. Walk closely with the Lord in these days. Allow Him to speak to your heart and watch for divine opportunities. May we be continually devoted to good works. Let's pray together, and then we will conclude our time online for now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are so good to us. Lord, thank you for leading us through the scriptures, for bringing us back to this point where we are focusing on not necessarily how we feel, but being the people of God that you've called us to be. Lord, we pray for our people, the people in our church family, and the people who are in our community that work in the health profession, our doctors, our nurses, our secretaries, Lord, our office personnel, the administrative people, Lord, the environment where sick people come. Thank you for their willingness to serve. And Lord, for those are in that line of fire, we pray that you would protect them from this virus. And God, we pray that those that are going out from our church as missionaries into this environment, that you would use them to meet gospel needs at this time. Father, for our police department, for our fire department, for our city officials, for our county government, for our churches, pastors, and leadership who are all trying to do what's right and make good decisions, we lift them up to you and ask you, Lord, to bless them and to give them wisdom, Father, to speak to their hearts and to bless them in this time. We pray, Father, that you would help us to understand the times that we are living in, to know what to do and to do it. May we be a people that is devoted, that are devoted to good works and to meeting urgent needs, so that we won't be unfruitful, but that we will be fruitful for your service, for your glory, for your honor. And even now, Lord, may the sense of urgency for lost people be put upon our hearts. May we cry out to you as Paul cried out to you, saying that our prayer is that all would be saved, that all would hear the gospel, that all would recognize their need for the Savior, and all would repent and turn to Jesus for salvation. Burden our hearts. Let that glow, Lord, within us. May it be a spark that starts revival. And Lord, just continue to give us direction as we work to connect with one another in the best ways possible in the days ahead. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming online this morning. And I'm glad it looks like it was fairly successful. As I'm preaching, I'm trying not to be distracted by all these people on the side here, but I see that many of you have been with us today. I want to tell you, as your pastor, that I love you. My family loves you. And we are praying for you in these days. And if there's anybody listening you know anybody that has a need that we can help with, please contact us. And let us see if we can be involved in that, see if we can be a part of that. And I'd ask you to be patient with us in the days ahead as we continue to try to do online Bible studies and as we keep having service online, at least probably for next week and looking towards Easter. We'll keep you updated on how that goes. Pray that you'll have a good rest of the day, that God blesses you and your family, that you'll enjoy hopefully some sunshine today. And look forward to seeing you next time we're able to meet. God bless you.